Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's now 7:35 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network, and I am Austin Hill, honored to have you with us. I'm here weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. Boy, talk about difficulties in connecting faith and connecting the Scriptures to our ever-tumultuous world and the life we live within it. Let's talk about the Beatitudes for a moment. Eight blessings found in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, words proclaimed by Christ himself. What exactly do the Beatitudes mean for us today? And in particular, what's this thing about meekness supposed to tell us today? Joining us to talk about it, a guy whose title is so clever, someday I may claim responsibility for it. He calls himself the Millennial Evangelical, Chris Martin, back on our guest line. And welcome back to the show. Have you already tweeted about your appearance here on the program, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I already have, and I'm happy to be here, Austin. Happy Friday to you, and it's good to be back with you.
It's good to be back with you. Because you're from that millennial generation, and therefore you're super cool with social media, much more so than I am. And so you need to lead the way. You need to demonstrate how to effectively and responsibly use Twitter. I not to add burden on your already laden shoulders, but I just wanted to make clear, you know, where things stand. Are we all good with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all good with that. And you know, my boss often says, being cool on social media is like being cool at Dungeons and Dragons. It's not its own real world anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I will happily try to lead the way on conducting ourselves well on social media.
Well, listen, I think I haven't heard those words in a long time. I think Dungeons and Dragons are real in ways that I don't even want to get into, same with social media. But anyway, enough of all of that. What perplexed you? What prompted you to take up a sort of a modern writing, if you will, about the Beatitudes?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, in my daily devotion plan, every other year I try to do the whole read the Bible in a year thing, which is a huge task to undertake, and I highly recommend it for anyone that would be interested. It's a great way to just kind of familiarize yourself with the Scriptures,
sure,
and kind of the narrative. But I just do that every other year, and so that was last year. And this year, I'm just going to walk through smaller passages of Scripture, not the whole Bible. And just kind of try to dig deeper. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to go through the Gospels first, all four Gospels. It's been a while since I've read through those, all four, in like some depth. So I started with Matthew, and right away, as I got into the Sermon on the Mount, which is a great passage, obviously some people's favorite passage in the whole Bible, certainly one of mine. And I got into the Beatitudes, and I was like, you know what, I've so often just breezed over these and just said, you know what, you know, when I'm in a bad situation, when I'm thirsting for and hungering for righteousness, and when I'm spiritually broken like I've never been, and when I'm needing to be meek, you know, I'll look at those verses then. But as I kind of read them and studied them this time around, I was like, man, I've been missing out on stuff that I thought was just for when I was feeling weak and needed some loving from Jesus. And I read those verses, and I was like, these are powerful for even when we feel strong and spiritually strong, and mm-hmm. and when we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness just in our daily lives. So I decided to look at the Beatitudes in some depth, and I love writing, and so I just said, you know what, part of my devotional and reading these Beatitudes is going to just be writing about them and sharing some of what I find out.
Chris Martin is the Millennial Evangelical. He's on our guest line here on Faith Radio. So you write some interesting things about meekness, one of the attributes undertaken in Jesus' remarks in the Sermon on the Mount. And, you suggest that meekness is, it implies a level of weakness, but it also implies a level of strength. What do you find there? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, I've been reading a couple commentaries along with the text when I read it, and there's a common phrase that says meekness is not weakness, and that's completely true from a biblical and true perspective, right? I mean, meekness is valued by God, therefore it's not weak. But I think in our culture, especially for guys, meekness is weakness. Meekness is power under control. It's being self-controlled, most simply, I guess. It might be simplifying it too much, but it's being under control, being gentle. It doesn't mean you're powerless. It doesn't mean you're weak. But the way it works itself out practically in our culture, I think a lot of times it does look weak. Meekness is going to not be scratching and clawing for that job promotion that I could be scratching and clawing for and that others may be scratching and clawing for. Meekness is going to be not taking revenge from someone who gets on my nerves instead of taking revenge, which a lot of people in culture wouldn't bother me about doing. So when I'm meek, when we're gentle and self-controlled, we're going to appear weak, and sometimes we may not get that job promotion because we didn't scratch and claw and backstab for it. But really, it is strength. So meekness looks like weakness. It is, in our culture, sometimes weak. But it really, truthfully, from a biblical or eternal perspective, it is strong. It is not weakness from an eternal perspective. And as Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, they shall inherit the earth. That is an immense amount of power and responsibility and influence that certainly would not look weak to a broader culture.
Chris Martin, as I read your piece, I was thinking of this notion that I'm sure you've kind of grown up with it, quite frankly. There's been, I think, very open and in many cases very healthy and necessary dialogue in the evangelical Christian church, and that is dialogue over the question, has the church been feminized? And in many respects, I would argue that it has been. I mean, I certainly believe that our Savior, Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, emulated attributes that were both quite masculine and quite feminine all at the same time. I mean, I've had it told me, you know, Jesus transcends gender. Well, he most certainly does. I don't, however. I'm a guy, and sure, I need to figure out what God wants of me as a man and how that applies in the world that I live in today. And it strikes me that the culture, the church culture that you and I both live in today, really does kind of lend itself to the feminine side, and meekness probably gets caught up in that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, a lot of our songs, I've heard some people say, a lot of our songs that we sing in church sound more like, I want to sit on your lap and rub my face in your beard kind of Jesus, like it's kind of like lovey-dovey hug kind of stuff. And I think that's true. I think there's some merit to that. Also, what we have to do about looking at the feminization of the church and Christian culture generally, I think we also need to look at what we really think manhood is. Because I think what it means to be a man, and there are guys who are way smarter than me and older and wiser than me that have written books on this stuff. But I think what it means to be a man may be different than what our culture defines what it means to be a man. And I think some of what we see as the feminization of the church may just be there certainly is some of that, like I described, but may just be becoming more like Christ, which is withholding strength. When our culture says being a man is unleashing strength and being powerful and bull rushing in the situation, whereas the Bible says, you know, real strength is found in meekness and self-controlled power. So I think it's kind of a both end. I completely agree with you. I've seen things in the church culture and American Christianity generally that makes men look really feminine, makes church really feminine. And I've heard of people having difficulty getting dads and fathers and husbands into the church because of the femininity of the church. At the same time, I think there are ways that the Bible calls us to a standard that might look feminine to culture, but is really biblical manhood and not just gun-toting, bull-rushing, you know, just manly, you know, deep voice kind of a thing, if that makes sense.
Well, maybe not manly in you know, an NFL Sunday kind of way. I get
exactly
that. I'm not really interested in WWF kind of manliness. But what about some of the more masculine attributes that I believe the Scripture calls us to as men? Things
sure,
like the pursuit of excellence. You mentioned a few moments ago that being meek sometimes means that you don't get the job promotion that you are looking for. But pursuing excellence in the marketplace seems to me to be a fine characteristic
yes,
for both men and women, the exercise of redemptive force. That's a tough one. Our country
sure.
is struggling with that right now. The willingness to fight for justice. I mean, just saying the word fight is almost antithetical in some Christian circles today. What does that mean for you as a millennial, having grown up with what I would say are some misunderstandings on these things?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think where I see this is I say, okay, I'm called to fight for justice, especially for my family, for the orphan and the widow. What I, as a millennial in the culture I've grown up in from where I'm from, I look at verses like that and that kind of what you've identified as almost a paradoxical relationship there, as I'm called to fight for justice in the parameters and rules that the Bible has set out. So I'm called to fight for justice as far as I can and as long as I can be obedient to what God's word says, the parameters of fighting for justice. But I think also we see sometimes in the scriptures, especially perhaps in the prophets and otherwise, where there's a point at which justice is in the hands of God and we have to trust the Lord to carry out his justice and his righteousness in the present in some way or simply in eternity. And so I think we're called to fight for justice in as much as scripture allows us to, you know, not taking revenge. For instance, I can fight for justice as much as I want, but I shouldn't be taking revenge in this angrily way just because my feelings were hurt. So it's towing that line, like you said, super difficult. And like you said, our country is dealing with that right now, defending the poor, defending the weak, defending the helpless and powerless, and saying, how can we defend and look for justice for these people while still obeying God in the way we know best?
Chris Martin is the Millennial Evangelical. He's on our guest line here on Faith Radio. You can find his writings at myfaithradio.com. Just a final thought, and you and I have talked a little bit about this before, but is the millennial generation up to the task of correcting some of the misunderstandings in the evangelical church? Look, you're in the thick of Christian media in multiple different ways. This is a topic that has been bantered around all over the place. Is your generation ready to carry the torch, so to speak?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm really not sure. I've seen a huge swath of views on various cultural and social issues in my generation. That it's as diverse as anything that I've seen. And so I've done most of my study on millennials and the way we work. I've not done a ton of study on Gen X, which would be your generation, or boomers, who would be a little bit older. I've not done a ton of study on how you guys have viewed things, especially when you were closer to our age. So I don't know if perhaps we're just a little bit more diverse in the way we view scripture and things in culture because we're young and more libertine as we're more young, and maybe we'll get more conservative or more steadfast in what we think as we get older, or if this is going to persist even as we get older. It's really hard to say. As of right now, I'm not sure that we can carry the torch on Orthodox biblical Christianity as applied to various cultural issues that we see today. Mm-hmm. I hope so. There are plenty of young conservative evangelicals who will. But as the whole generation is concerned, I mean, we're talking about 35-ish year olds to 15 year olds right now.
Right.
So this is a huge swath. So it's really hard to say. I hope so, but I'm not sure.
Fair enough. We will look forward to talking again. He's Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical, who's also very sophisticated and super cool with social media. Thanks for tweeting us. We look forward to talking again, Chris.
No problem, Austin. It's good to talk to you, and I look forward to it.
All right, brother. Have a great day. 7:48 now, Central Time, from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Final few moments of our program on the way.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.